1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House overnight passing the rescissions bill that claws back $9 billion in federal funding for international aid and for public broadcasting. President Trump will sign it today. The White House disclosing that the president has been diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency, which is quite common in older people.
Some estimates show that up to 40% of Americans have this diagnosis, essentially a problem with blood flow, specifically within the veins that are in charge of returning blood back to our heart. But chronic venous insufficiency, blood can pool in areas where gravity is dependent, for example, like the legs, and cause significant swelling, discomfort, and pain for patients.
ABC medical correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton. The president went to the doctor for swelling in his legs and ankles. The president ordering Attorney General Pam Bondi to now release grand jury testimony in the case against Jeffrey Epstein. CBS canceling Colbert, The Late Show gone as of next May. CBS says it was a financial decision. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Damage surveys are underway to find the strength and distance tornadoes may have traveled through parts of Wisconsin Wednesday afternoon. In Iowa and Dodge counties, teams were out early Thursday morning looking at spots where videos and pictures of a twister were taken from. The National Weather Service reports mainly tree damage seen so far as they are trying to track down where they may have hit in fields. The National Weather Service says they are trying to move as fast as possible to try and investigate the entire area. Reports of tornadoes came in from at least seven different towns between noon and four. Wautoma and areas of the Fox Valley also experienced significant flash flooding with cars submerged. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and Iowa Senator Joni Ernst have introduced legislation to expand access to mental health care for farmers. According to a press release, the proposed bill seeks to increase support for the Farm and Ranch Stress Assistance Network. The network connects agricultural workers to mental health resources and services like stress assistance programs. The bill would authorize an additional $15 million in funding for the network to hire additional staff and address varying needs among different farming populations. A federal court ruling found Wisconsin must stop denying unemployment insurance to applicants who are also receiving Social Security disability insurance. The court ruled that a 12-year-old state law that banned unemployment insurance for Social Security disability insurance recipients unlawfully discriminates against people with disabilities. The law was signed by former Republican Governor Scott Walker in 2013 and argued that people receiving assistance from both programs were double-dipping and potentially even committing fraud. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The second half of the baseball season getting underway as the Brewers open a three-game series on the road against the Dodgers. Quinn Priester from Milwaukee against the Dodgers' Tyler Glasnow. At the start of the season, manager Pat Murphy was struggling to find starting pitchers. Now he's got Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff, Jacob Mizorowski, Brewers catcher Eric Haas.
Yeah, I was joking with Murph about that, you know, to where we were to start, or we're just looking for innings anywhere we could find them. And we had a lot of young guys come up and throw some very meaningful and really good innings for us. And getting these guys back, who we kind of planned to be in the clubhouse in the first place, you know, they haven't broken stride. They've joined us, and they've done nothing but put up zeros for us. They're a big factor with why we're winning.
NBA Damian Lillard agreeing to a three-year contract to return to Portland in a deal worth $42 million. He'll be joined by Drew Holiday, who the Bucks traded away 2 years ago to bring Lillard to Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A great day to be outside today. Mostly sunny skies with a high near 76. For tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing, mainly after midnight, lows in the mid-60s. Still a shower or storm hanging around Saturday morning, otherwise partly sunny, highs near 80. Currently, it's 52.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Joining me this week is my dear friend and Green Bay Public School Board member Laura McCoy to talk about how public education is funded.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Friday, July 18th, 2025, and it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or catching us on social media, some of you watching on Facebook or YouTube. On YouTube, Alicia's chiming in already, saying one more workday, and EAA vacation starts. And not just for Alicia, for a whole lot of folks getting set to head out to the Oshkosh area next week, including Brittany Merlot. She's off today. She's actually started a little bit early, and she'll be out there camping along with, you know, couple hundred thousand close friends probably, but we still have plenty to talk about today on the program. Get over here so I can tell you more about it. I'm a little excited because I can make you a winner in just a short time here. You'll see what I mean coming up. First I gotta tell you what's on the program. Let's start with the bad news first. We're going to talk about CBS canceling Stephen Colbert and The Late Show. It's only the highest rated franchise in late night TV. It's not like it's, you know, sucking money. But CBS calls it a financial decision. Not necessarily so. And we'll get into some of the reasons and some of the continuing similarities to what happened in places like Hungary that went from democracy to dictatorship in not that terribly long a period. And you don't think it's possible until you see it happen someplace like there. Our Week in Review panel will be here. We'll talk about the vote in Congress this week to gut federal funding for public radio and television. It's a relatively minor line in a budget, but it's a lifeline to a lot of communities that aren't otherwise served by for-profit media. Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil will cover Donald Trump's quest to downplay the Epstein files and the clown show that has resulted. Let's see, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will come in, and we'll talk about the sneaky ways that some politicians are trying to fool people into thinking an abortion ban isn't really an abortion ban when it really is. And then we're ready for a break from sports, and it is time for baseball's second half kickoff. That didn't sound quite right. Parker Olson produces this fine program. He's down in Madison Studio A2. Baseball's second half kickoff. Okay. Anyway, we'll talk to Mike Clemens about the Milwaukee Brewers' expectations as they end the All-Star break and start a weekend series out west against the LA Dodgers, and he'll fill us in on the upcoming start of Packers training camp. There. I knew there was kickoff.
Yes, real kickoff. Someplace.
Nailed it. So, yes, the actual kickoff, yes. From Ben in Oshkosh on the text line, transitioning back to the day shift so I can enjoy EAA next week. Glad I get to listen live. It's been a while. Well, appreciate that, Ben.
Welcome back.
Thank you for chiming in. Parker, how are you? What's the weekend plan?
Weekend plan, I don't think is very heavy. I only have a game on Sunday for the Mallards, so I've got tonight and all of tomorrow. I think I might be headed down to Whitewater to see a buddy, but yeah. we'll see. I don't know. What do you got going on?
You mean like national champions of some sort?
Oh, yeah.
Because you are a national champion.
I am a national champion.
I keep being reminded.
Yes. I don't know if my buddy knows that we're national champions.
A national champion fan. Okay. Got it. No, here we're the thing about us is in the summertime living on the lake here is we don't travel as much. I know in the winter and spring, every so often it's like, oh, look, Kreitlow's gone again. But then in the summertime, it's like, no, you come to us. And so we've got some friends coming this weekend. And, you know, we have kids coming occasionally with grandkids. In fact, we just finally got around to Windexing some of the fingerprints from the tiniest human, the 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Taking care of all of that. So
my dog, he likes to, we have like a little like slit window next to our front door, and he'll jump up on there and his nose always gets on that glass.
And again, when you're a parent, it's like, oh, I got something else to clean up, you know? And when it's grandkids, it's a totally different thing. It's like you leave the fingerprints there, the chalk drawing. We had chalk drawings that stayed there until the snow fell, you know, from the summer.
God.
It's just a nice little reminder where, again, if you were a parent, it'd be like, oh, all the time I'm cleaning. Not so much now. I appear to have mellowed with age, and I'm good with that.
Oh, no.
Does Civic Media still have a store? I'll bet they do.
I think I saw this the other day. I didn't look at it, but I'm pretty sure that there is.
Well, look at this. Over at civicmedia.us, it does indeed say store. And holy cow, you can click on, you can get these T-shirts, all kinds of T-shirts, hats. I say all that because I think this might be the first time I've worn a Civic Media T-shirt.
I noticed you were wearing that.
To do the broadcast, in part because it's cool and crisp up here this morning, but we've got the, you know, the windows are open. And so it just seems perfect for the T-shirt flannel combo. This particular Civic Media shirt is the state of Wisconsin with a whole bunch of circles on it, showing the range of all the various Civic Media stations. And if you would like to look at cool Civic Media gear, head over to civicmedia.us, click store in the upper right corner, and you can dress and be as snazzy as Todd Alba, who I know wears this shirt and that other Civic Media shirt all the time. I do wonder if he has any other clothing, if it's just company wear.
I think it's all that we give to him. I think he is kitted out in Civic Media.
Oh, yes. Very, very kitted out. And he is in the Hayward area today. In fact, he may check in later this morning along with Greg Bach and Jane Matinere as they continue this week's road tripping around Wisconsin. And they will be in Hayward where the World Lumberjack Championships are taking place this weekend. No truth to the rumor that he and Greg and Jane will all be on the same log and just trying to roll it, because that wouldn't last very long. And I know this because I've tried it.
Oh.
Yes.
You were a lumberjack in your day?
I most certainly was not. I was running against a lumberjack for Congress back in 2012. And the commercial was this tongue-in-cheek thing of having a little fun of like, you know, I'm not a lumberjack. I can't, you know, you see me throwing an axe, missing the mark, you know, and... What else? There were a couple of other lumberjacky things in there. And then it ends with me on a log, like I'm going to start rolling it, and of course, failing miserably and falling into the lake. Well, okay, it made for a really cute commercial.
Yeah.
I grant you that. I mean, I still lost the election, but it was fun to make. But again, you're only going to last, you know, a second on that log. And so when the company that shot the commercial, you know, we had to go find somebody who was nice enough to let us use their cabin and their dock, you know, and we shot all these commercial scenes all around their house and on the lake. And of course, we saved the lake thing for last. And the one person takes you into one of the bedrooms there, and laying there on the bed were like four of the same outfit, figuring that I was going to screw this up. And I'd have to come dry off really quick, put on some dry clothes, take two, fall in, you know, change again.
And get those in the dryer. So it's going to take five tries.
That's just it. So they were like, you got four tries to get this right. You got to be able to deliver the last line before you fall in. First take.
Hey.
So maybe I am part lumberjack, you know? I don't know. But it was fun. It, of course, gave me a new appreciation for what they're doing up in Hayward this weekend. It is a crazy kind of talent that they have to do some of the things that they do.
Yeah, you know? I would love to see some video of that.
Yeah. of from Hayward this weekend or my commercial?
Yes.
Okay. I'm it's got to be on YouTube someplace.
I want to compare contrast.
Yeah. So we'll see if we can explore that. You know what? Already there's sleuths out there going, "Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's put up another Kreitlow blooper." It's been 13 years. I'm over it. Don't worry about it. It's just fine. Todd and Jane and Greg will be up there in Hayward today broadcasting. And then this fine program is going to be on the road next week. I will be broadcasting from Parker Point to that chair over there.
Right about there.
There, yes. Parker's pointing to a chair just across from him, where it'll almost be like a real radio show.
Yeah.
Where the host and the producer are in the same studio.
Whoa,
and,
what?
Yeah,
you can do that?
I know. Going to do that for a couple days next week. And then I think, I don't want to overpromise here, but I think I may end up in Oshkosh for EAA for one of those days.
Ooh.
As well. So we'll see. You know, as the TV reporter cliche goes, preparations are underway for a road trip next week. So
I like it.
Stick around for that. Of course, as I said, the aforementioned Milwaukee Brewers will be playing baseball tonight. Finally, All-Star break is over. It's going to be nice, but you're going to have to stay up late for it because, again, it's in L.A. Coverage begins the pregame tonight at 8:35 on Civic Media stations up in Hayward, WBZH, and Park Falls, and Oshkosh, and Racine Kenosha, and Richland Center. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more about that. And I usually start off saying, I got a question for you. Now I got that question. You want to win something? Would you like to win Brewers tickets? It's free ticket Friday, and I'll say these are good tickets. They might not be Bob Uecker good, but Parker, give folks an idea of how good these tickets are.
Good seats, huh? You're in the wrong seat, buddy. Come on.
Oh, I must be in the front row.
Come on.
No, these are better than Uecker seats. These are club-level seats. Parker has used them. He can testify. These are great seats, mezzanine level. That's the area where the concourse is carpeted, you know.
Yeah, and I didn't know tables. That was a thing.
And yeah, you can get your brisket mac and cheese. So
wait,
and
what?
All these other, have you not had that? Oh yeah, there's all kinds of good things up on that level. You are eating good in the neighborhood, and that I don't mean Applebee's ish. So yeah, these are four club level tickets to see the Brewers, not just any Brewers game. I mean, any Brewers game would be good, but these for the free ticket Friday, they are game specific and they're for a Monday, but don't tune out from that going, oh, Monday night, you know, Monday night. Mm-hmm. Who would want to do that? It's a Brewers Cubs. It is Monday, the 28th. So not this coming Monday, but 1 week later. Free ticket Friday for a game on Monday, July 28th. You got to use that Civic Media app and text us this morning's keyword, throw, THROW, throw. You text that on the Civic Media app, and you are in the running for a drawing for four tickets to see the Brewers Cubs play on Monday, July 28th. So, yes, obviously, you know, enter this if you can go to the game, because we don't want to waste these tickets. So you got to use that Civic Media app, and don't put anything else in the text message. Just put the word throw, THROW. Then you can text us anything else that you want, but we want to make sure that your entry goes through. And once again, I have to ask Parker, because we can't talk off air like this. Are you hearing that bing as each entry comes in?
No.
Is it just in my headphones?
It's just in your
good.
Headphones.
I just wanted to make sure, because right now I feel like I'm going crazy because of all the bing, bing, bing.
Well, that's not why.
But it's not because of that. So free ticket Friday. You have until 9 o'clock. So if you don't have the Civic Media app yet, you have time to download it and use it. Get to know it. Go to the stations. Use the text feature. Text throw. These are electronic tickets, by the way. They're going to be either emailed or texted to you. So you got to be able to use these electronic tickets. I don't believe they're transferable. So we want to get it in the hands of people who can win. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this a place to spend part of your Friday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlaw. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Wisconsin Elections Commission issued a highly critical report of the City of Madison's former clerk after investigating how 193 mail-in ballots were left uncounted after the 2024 general election. The clerk was suspended by the city, then subsequently resigned. November 12th, a staff member alerted City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bell that a sealed ballot courier bag had been found, but Witzel Bell allegedly gave the staff no instructions to open or otherwise investigate, did not alert state or county officials, and went on vacation the next day. Just before Thanksgiving, unaware that an unopened bag had been found, an elections inspector reported a discrepancy in wards 56 and 65. December 2nd, inspectors found another unopened courier bag containing 125 uncounted ballots. The 400-page report found several leadership and procedural failures. It concluded, quote, "Rather than acknowledge these significant errors, the city clerk and her staff either ignored the issue or willfully refused to inform the necessary parties and seek assistance. These actions resulted in nearly 200 lawful voters' votes going uncounted, an unconscionable result," unquote. The report orders the City of Madison to complete several procedural reforms before the next statewide election in February 2026. We've linked to the full report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Coming back to Free Ticket Friday for a moment, Alicia clearly is listening to us in the commercial break on YouTube and sends us this note that we pass along to all of you. "Wouldst thou like tickets to yon baseball game? Well, then thou must spell the keyword correctly. Throw, T-H-R-O-W, because we got somebody in with a T-H-O-W. I'm looking at you, Chuck. And we're not calling you out on purpose. We're just saying you got to have it spelled correctly. So send us another text with throw, T-H-R-O-W, and thou will then be entered in if you have the keyword correct. And the keyword is throw. Not thou.
I didn't know we were going to go full Shakespeare today. I like it.
I wasn't planning on it either, but Chuck said, here, I'm going to give you a thou. So there. So again, four tickets to see the Brewers Cubs on Monday, July 28th. Use the Civic Media app. Text us throw before 9 a.m. You'll be entered in a statewide drawing, and you could win four tickets. Now, they'll be played. This game will be played throughout the course of the day on this Free Ticket Friday. Different words throughout the day, so be listening in for your next chance to win. I am not really sure how to go into the inexplicable story of Stephen Colbert being canceled, because he made that announcement on Thursday and people were just starting to, you know, absorb the news that the number one franchise in late night TV is going away. And CBS calls it a financial decision to kill the number one rated late night show. And you're going, well, when's this happening? Stephen Colbert's contract is up at the end of this next television season. And CBS just basically said, well, we're going to let him walk. We're not going to negotiate for a new contract. We're just done when this contract runs out. in May of next year, then we're not going to name a new host, according to Colbert. They're just going to shut down the show. And if it sounds suspicious, it's because you should be suspicious. This comes back to what CBS and Paramount, its corporate parent, are doing in terms of wanting to make an acquisition. They want to merge with another company. And as a result, they're going to need government approval. And guess who's in charge of the government these days? And, you know, Stephen Colbert is, you know, not sugarcoating it. He's said he doesn't want to go. He wishes that it weren't ending. He wishes that, you know, he were handing the reins to somebody else if they weren't going to renew his contract. But according to the New York Times, CBS executives said, it is not related in any way to the show's performance, content, or other matters happening at Paramount. Our admiration, affection, and respect for the talents of Stephen Colbert and his incredible team made this agonizing decision even more difficult. Next paragraph goes like this. It doesn't say, oh, by the way, but I'm going to add this. Oh, by the way, Paramount is in the midst of closing a multi-billion-dollar merger with the movie studio Skydance, a deal that requires approval from the Trump administration. You might recall that Paramount recently agreed to settle a lawsuit with President Trump and pay $16 million over the way that a story on 60 Minutes had been edited featuring then Vice President Kamala Harris. Trump originally sued for $20 billion in a suit that would normally be laughed out of court, because there is no merit whatsoever to Trump saying, I didn't like the way they edited this tape. Everybody has seen the raw video. There was nothing untoward. But Trump knew that he could use some leverage and extract something out of this. So this merger was coming down the pike. And now Paramount is paying $16 million, not to Trump, but to a fund that will eventually build the Trump Presidential Library, which, if there's any justice in the world, will be shaped like a big golden toilet. But that's for another day. Needless to say, there are a lot of people that were surprised that Stephen Colbert, a frequent nightly critic of Donald Trump, had been around this long. But now this is the very right pain point for Trump and the right wing to apply pressure. And as a result, CBS has said, yeah, we're just letting Colbert walk. We're not firing him. You know, we're just letting this go. Alicia puts on YouTube, Trump is just upset that there's no way he can be edited to make him look good. That is very much a possibility. But now here's the troubling part. And I'm sure I've mentioned this once or twice before, and people go, well, you know, we're America. We're not Hungary. We're a democracy. We're always going to be a democracy. Yeah, that's what they thought in Hungary too. Hungary, one of those nations behind the Iron Curtain. But post-communism, they absolutely flourished for a time. Some places really struggled, Russia especially, and went right into kleptocracy and corruption and now eventually a dictatorship. In Hungary, the process was slower. But the way that Viktor Orban and the right wing gained power was by using a little bit of power to get more power and to put power or to use pressure on networks. And their government bought stakes in all the private channels through things like foundations. They didn't want the universities anymore criticizing them, and so they spun those off into private entities. Well, guess who owns the private entities? People who are sympathetic to the Viktor Orban government. So when you see what Donald Trump's doing with Harvard and with Columbia, and when you see what he's doing with Paramount, and when you see how ABC capitulated earlier in a lawsuit to Trump, all of these things should sound off alarm bells, bigly, as he likes to say. This is not happening by chance. This is a very deliberate attempt to have, for a group that used to condemn big government, they want the ultimate big government. But to do that, they're going to have to crush voices of dissent in education and in media. And that process appears to be moving along quite nicely, with this latest development. Kia Vakil is coming up next after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network here up north.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
The clock keeps ticking, and escalated tariffs against two of our major trade partners, Canada and Mexico, weigh heavy on the dairy trade. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Matt Tranel says losing Mexico as a buyer of our U.S. dairy products would be a major blow to the marketplace.
Specifically, Mexico's been buying a third to 40% of all of our cheese exports that we've been seeing. And like we mentioned in May, it was a record, and year to date, we're up like 7%. So Mexico would be catastrophic as they are our biggest buyer. Canada would also be tough. I mean, they do protect their dairy industry a little bit closer, but specifically butter exports to Canada would be a huge problem.
Matt Tranel, dairy analyst with EverAg out of Platteville, explaining why Mexico and Canada are such critical dairy trade partners with the U.S. and Wisconsin specifically. How are the markets doing in overnight electronic trade? I've got your numbers next.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. BaseLite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about BaseLite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
On Thursday, the barrel cheese remained unchanged in Chicago at 165. 40-pound block cheese gained a penny and a half to 164. Double A butter stood still, 253 a pound. This morning in overnight activity, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 50 points right now. Currently, our September corn is up a nickel. December new crop up a nickel at 427. August soybeans are up 13. November new crop up 13 at 1039. September wheat's 4 cents higher at 537. December up 4, 558. The August class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 23 cents now, 1795. September currently trading 7 cents higher at 1834 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Friday trade session. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter. You won't miss a thing. MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A great day to be outside today. Mostly sunny skies with a high near 76. For tonight, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing, mainly after midnight, lows in the mid-60s. Still a shower or storm hanging around Saturday morning, otherwise partly sunny, highs near 80. Currently, it's 52.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I review the record on the conspiracy theories in Pizzagate from QAnon and MAGA and reveal Donald Trump's deep hypocrisy in this moment about pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's Friday. Time to head over to Los Angeles. Talk to Courier Newsroom's national political editor, Kia Vakil. I can hear his air conditioner kicking in, which I'm in flannel because it's been so cool the past couple of days. How are things out there?
They're good.
This has been a week where the Jeffrey Epstein thing has bubbled up, and in a weird way. I mean, look, a lot of us weren't ignoring the Epstein files. It seemed to be this thing that the right wing loved to talk about, that there were these Democratic cabals of pedophiles or whatever. And boy, they couldn't wait. Donald Trump was promising them, you know, the Epstein files, you're going to learn everything. And wow, suddenly, like on a dime, this week marked Donald Trump going, oh, there's nothing to see here. It's a hoax. And you're stupid if you voted for me and you still want the Epstein files out. And obviously his supporters are PO'd because, I mean, this has got Boy Who Cried Wolf written all over it.
Yeah, and I'll start by saying I have long held the belief that there's no there with this until Donald Trump started acting like the most guilty human being imaginable. Not to say that obviously there's photos and videos of him with Epstein, but yeah. I always viewed this as a just like a nut, like it's a major right wing talking point, conspiracy theory thing they are obsessed about. And Trump and his aides and allies fueled that obsession. They spent years stoking those flames. And I wrongly, clearly, just assumed that was just yet another theory that they were stoking to build outrage to get support. And, you know, clearly there's a there because he has responded in the most blatantly, like, suggesting guilt way imaginable, where he's essentially calling his own supporters stupid, pretending like he never said anything about releasing them. We're seeing this like mini civil war ignite within like the true MAGA coalition, because you have the folks who, you know, his base, like his real core base, like the diehards, their worldview is conspiracy. And the Epstein conspiracy is the king of conspiracies, because it's essential, because it's one, it's based in reality. This guy was a pedophile. And two, their belief that there is a cabal of pedophiles secretly running Washington and that Trump is going to cleanse the deep state and fight these people. It kind of fuses with QAnon. Like, it is very much the basis of the world they live in. A lot of these voters, not all, but a big chunk of the base. And so to have their king, their dragon slayer, whatever you want to call him, be in office, having promised to release the files and take down the villains and combat the pedophiles, and then totally reverse course and over the course of months, like put out really mealy-mouthed statements, hire influencers to like put out like binders with nothing in them. And then essentially create this like friction between the DOJ and the FBI, because Pam Bondi is clearly just doing whatever Trump wants. And then you have the leadership of the FBI, who are, you know, former right-wing grifters, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino. They were influencers. They had radio shows, podcasts. They have an audience that's not Donald Trump as well. And so they're getting heat. We are seeing like really strange alliances break down and new ones form on the right in the media ecosystem, because it's the first issue I can actually see splitting his base in a visible way. Do I think he's suddenly going to drop 40% of his support? I don't. But it is notable that this is where he's like getting visibly frustrated with his supporters. We've never seen that happen before.
I want to put a big flashing red light on what I'm about to say next. It's speculation. It is just speculation. But my own feeling is that there has been much less in there about Donald Trump, and that's why he felt
comfortable talking about it. So what if other people were caught up in it? And now, you know, some people in his administration have been able to go through it all long enough that, again, it's only a theory, but that there was some other name that came up in there and it was like, oh, no, 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 this can't come out. Whether it was a huge contributor, a huge supporter of a family member, whatever it is. For the people that think, oh, suddenly they found, you know, Donald Trump in here doing something. No, Donald Trump, let's be clear. He's not clean. He's a creeper at a minimum. At the bare minimum, he's a creeper, and he's been adjudicated of things related to sexual assault. So I'm not saying he's not, you know, I'm not saying his hands are clean by any stretch of the imagination. Yep. But I did not necessarily think that he was in all of this, but maybe he's learned that somebody is that, you know, it was one thing if it was like, oh, what if it's, you know, well, I hate to do things like that, name former presidents or things like that, but maybe that's what's happened now.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, whether he's in it or not, or it's just other really powerful people, he ran on a promise to fight for the everyman against the powerful and elites. And he's clearly in every way not doing that. Let's be clear. But this is the thing that they have built this like frothing at the mouth desire for among a lot of MAGA voters to see these files released. It's like a much more intense, condensed version of the JFK conspiracy the thought that there is a conspiracy there. Right. And, but this is all condensed within what, the last 7 years, I think it was 2018 when Epstein, took his own life. Or didn't, depending on what you believe. that's 7 years of just building and building and building and expecting a release. And when there's no release, people are going to lose their minds. And that's what we're seeing. And it's going in all sorts of weird directions where you have far-right influencers, going against Trump. You have people like Charlie Kirk calling for the release, then 2 days later saying, I'm done. And then the next day being like, I just meant I'm done today, not in general. And so it's like this really fascinating case study. I don't know where it's going to wind up. I don't think it's going to he's not going to bring down his presidency. He's still got a, cult-like hold on the Republican Party politicians. But it's just really interesting because you see it getting at him in a way that very few things get at him.
Right. It has these parallels to the Mueller report in that, the Mueller report did find some connections between people in the Trump campaign, if not Trump himself, to Russia. But they did everything humanly possible to convince enough people that it was all a hoax, even though the stuff was real. And there's just a real sense of deja vu in all of this. And look, all of this is ever so briefly, for whatever level of diversion it is, we are able to come back to the things that are impacting most people. And they are the things that were in the most recent budget reconciliation bill. But are now, if people are going, okay, that's all done, right? No. There's more cuts coming through a process called rescission. And there's more cuts coming from next year's fiscal budget that they're starting to work on now. One of the big ones, Kia, that got mentioned this week was cutting, all these funds for public broadcasting. But I mean, that is just the beginning. All of this is just the beginning of what Trump wants to do to assault just about everything in the government that's not related to his direct power.
Yeah. And, those cuts to public broadcasting are devastating. You know, there's Republicans have long hated PBS, NPR. They think it's just liberal claptrap, blah, 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 blah. But people rely on those broadcasts, like especially in smaller towns and rural communities in red states and in blue states, there's not a big media infrastructure. So public radio might be the only source of news. If you live in, a rural part of Iowa or Wisconsin, you might not have that many options. Like if there's a tornado coming, like that might be one of the few places where you can get that information ahead of time. We just saw floods in Texas where there wasn't enough infrastructure to provide warning, be it media or literal alarms in the towns. But it is a very short-sighted move that's just meant to own his enemies and own the libs, essentially, because he doesn't like a free press. And it's just devastating. To your point, their whole mission is to take a sledgehammer to all forms of government and free press. you know, there's, they want to repeal the 20th century. Like, that's really just what it comes down to. They want a world where there are intense racial hierarchies, where the government, you're on your own. The government doesn't help you, doesn't have any responsibility to you. You can be fired for any reason. Civil rights are repealed. Like, they, and I, this sounds hyperbolic, but if you look at everything they're doing in totality, the, they want to just go back to a time where, you know, the Gilded Age, essentially, where business titans mm-hmm. can do what they want. Crypto shills can rip people off with no consequence. They don't care if 17 million people lose their health care. They don't care if climate change gets worse. It's just essentially the wild, wild west is what they want. Only the problem is only in this scenario, you know, in the wild, wild west, everyone had access to like a pistol or a gun. In this scenario, it's only his side that does.
Let's conclude with something that's been our question of the week this week, and that is the Democratic Party, whether it's drifting to left or if drifting left is just right or whatever. There was a big congressional primary in southern Arizona that our friends at the Copper Courier, they covered this week. And in this case, the, you know, the quote-unquote institutional candidate, Adelita Gravalla, did fine, got through it all, but there was, you know, there was a an interesting primary with another young up-and-coming Democrat. People were trying to draw parallels to the New York City primary race. Arizona is not New York City. This one did not strike me as one that's like going to tear Democrats apart. Unlike New York City, this one struck me as looking like, hey, look, we can have a primary and we'll be fine on the other side. Did you get that impression from, you know, the state next door to you?
Yeah, and I just want to say this primary, it's a little more complicated than just like establishment versus progressive. The winner, Adelita Grijalva, was the daughter of the late Raul Grijalva, who was a like progressive titan in Congress for years. She was endorsed by AOC and Bernie Sanders, and then also by more moderate senators like Ruben Gallego and Mark Kelly of Arizona. She was establishment in the sense that, yes, she's been in local office for quite a while. Her opponent, Deja Fox, was a young, clearly very talented young woman who's been big on social media and has worked on campaigns. But, you know, Adelita won handily. We see national outlets coming in and trying to tie this to the New York mayor's race and Zoran. She's much more closely aligned with Zoran ideologically in this scenario. She just happens to be the older candidate. It's just kind of a, you know, I think national media is really eager to draw comparisons, and it's a very different race. This is a small congressional district in southern Arizona. Zoran's running to be mayor of the biggest city in the country, 8 million people. So there, it's just apples to oranges. But whether it's the Dems are going, you know, I think what's happening is, I don't know, people want people who are fighting and offering solutions and ideas. And from my perspective, that's happening more on the progressive side of the spectrum than the center side of the spectrum. That's not to say there aren't center-left or centrist Democrats who can offer good ideas, but we're not really seeing any of those excite the base. And so that's telling, and that's something they need to figure out if they want to have more sway in the party.
Yeah, the people are just, they're rewarding boldness. Yeah. And finally, as a honcho at Courier Newsroom, as a you know, political editor, tell me you had a role. We talked about this yesterday when I first saw it, and God, I laughed. Tell me you had a role in greenlighting the name of one of Courier's new podcasts, Oh God, Now What? Were you responsible at all for that title?
I was not responsible. I will just also say it's going to be a video series, not a podcast. But
oh, okay.
From the brain of one of our very talented reporters in North Carolina. I saw it and I immediately loved it. And so I can't claim responsibility for that.
Okay. Well, I cannot wait for it to premiere so that we can get the proper people on and then say more about what it is. We've got that. We've got this new national newsletter from Cam Stevenson in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk about that next week. Just a lot of exciting things happening at Courier Newsroom. Kia Vakil playing a big role in that. Kia, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Pat. You too.
I have today's history lesson for you right after this. You're up north.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Janet Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Milwaukee film critic, Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Martha Reeves and the Vandellas taking us into today's history lesson. Martha Reeves is 84 years old today. Dancing in the Street was the big hit that she and the Vandellas released in July of 1964. So 61 years ago, this song was released. And by September, October, it got up to number two on the charts. It could not quite knock off Manfred Mann's Doo-Wah Diddy. Diddy Dum Diddy Doo. But Martha Reeves, 84 years old today. And this is where, once again, I get to thank Aaron Zommers for turning me on to one of the funniest videos on YouTube. It's called Dancing in the Street, Silent Version. And so if you've ever seen the really cheesy music video with Mick Jagger and David Bowie doing Dancing in the Street, when they're literally dancing in the street and stuff, and it's a comedic silent version where it's like they just take the music away and you kind of hear them whispering the lyrics and making funny noises. Just do yourself a favor. Look it up. Dancing in the Street, silent version. And yeah, you're welcome.
I'll have to watch it.
Dion is still with us. Dion DiMucci is 86 years old today. Anybody of a certain age knows his big hit. this, of course, would be Runaround Sue. So Dion, 86 years old today. And then he later had to come back from, being a rock and roll star. You know, the drugs and the alcohol and everything else. And came back and had the amazingly heart-wrenching hit Abraham, Martin, and John back in 1968. And then, you know, had a nice second career. So happy birthday to Dion. Happy birthday to actor James Brolin. You're going, wait, you mean Josh Brolin, right? No. His dad, actor James Brolin, is 85 years old today. He has been married to Barbara Streisand since 1998. And his son, actor Josh Brolin, is 57, by the way. But today is James Brolin's birthday, and he is 85. And I have the two, of course, look like father and son. And it was the first couple of Josh Brolin movies. I was like, man, James Brolin, he's looking good for his age. He's really crazy. He's really in good shape here.
He's like, taken off 30 years.
Yeah, how did that happen? It happened by it not being him. That's what it was. All right, one of the more distinctive singing voices of our time, Kim Carnes. She was born this day in 1945. She is 80 years old today. I noted this when looking up. I look up everybody every day just to make sure they're still with us. It feels kind of ghoulish, but you don't want to go, happy birthday, Kim Carnes, you're 80 today, and then find out she died sometime in the previous year. So, no, Kim Carnes, 80. But here's the thing I learned about her. I did that, first off, didn't realize she was originally one of the new Christy Minstrels back in the 60s. She got married in 1967. They are still married to this day.
Oh, wow.
58 years of marriage for Kim Carnes. Happy birthday to her. Her birthday is on Sunday, by the way. I was looking ahead to some of the weekend ones. Here's another Sunday birthday. Carlos Santana is 78. He's going to be 78 years old on Sunday. This week in 1975, 50 years ago this week, the number one song was by Paul McCartney and Wings. Other birthdays include Vin Diesel, who's 58 today. Actress Kristen Bell is 45, and Ryan Cabrera is 43. Here's our next one.
Sorry. I saw the hand go up. I was like, oh, that's for me.
I saw the hand. I'm like, go ahead and bring the volume up. Let's hear a little bit more of Paul McCartney. No, you will hear Billy Joel now, Pat.
Billy Joel.
You will hear Billy Joel. Because 45 years ago today, this week in 1980, Billy Joel got his first number one hit with It's Still Rock and Roll to Me. Now I'm going to move my hand up higher, and he's going to bring up Billy for a little bit here. All right, bring that back down. On this day in 1976 at the Summer Olympics in Montreal, Nadia Comăneci from Romania became the first person in Olympic history to score a perfect 10 in gymnastics. And, you know, we would learn a lot later on about, you know, the Eastern Bloc nations and those poor girls and guys, all the athletes that they wanted to make into Olympic champions and the hell that they went through. All I know is that at the time in 1976, and I was 12 years old and watching this, and an entire nation is watching going, how can anybody move like that? How can anybody be that good? She really was literally that good that she had deserved the perfect 10. It's just that, again, look, I'm not an athlete. There's pushing yourself to the limit, and then there's pushing way past the limit. And in Olympics case, you understood how Nadia Comăneci got to be so darn talented. Here's some juxtaposition on the National Day calendar.
Oh boy.
Today is National Caviar Day. You ever have caviar?
No, I haven't.
I have.
Good things.
I like it. I'm not going to. Usually it's when you're on a vacation somewhere, you know, where they might have a fancy schmancy restaurant and they give you a little bit to sample.
Sure.
And I'm like, I could get used to that. That's nice. But along with it being National Caviar Day, it is also National Sour Candy Day.
Oh, that's a good
thing. Reminds me, I saw a news story yesterday. Apparently the thing at the Ohio State Fair is deviled eggs, and that every year they introduce a new flavor of deviled eggs. And the new deviled egg flavor at the Ohio State Fair is chocolate chip cookie dough deviled eggs.
Oh God,
that is revolting.
Oh,
I
mean, God,
I was gonna talk about sour candy caviar, but Ohio, you've taken it up a notch. This is also Nelson Mandela's birthday, and this is insurance nerd birthday or insurance nerd appreciation day. So if you know an insurance nerd, and I do. Sheila Dutton, my agent up in Bloomer, is a classic insurance nerd. And I'm very thankful that we have these insurance nerds who take good care of us. And trust me, sometimes they take real good care of you when it's necessary. A lot more ahead in the next 2 hours of these mornings, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House voting overnight to cut $9 billion in federal funding that had already been allocated from international aid programs and from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The cryptocurrency industry reaching a major milestone in Washington on Thursday as Congress cleared legislation outlining the first federal rules for stable coins, a popular form of digital currency. President Trump telling Attorney General Pam Bondi to now unseal grand jury documents related to the Jeffrey Epstein case. Speaker Mike Johnson says of the president,
"We trust the American people. They can draw their own conclusions." And so he's in the process of releasing the information that can be released, that's not held up by a court or involves, victims of crimes or something like that.
CBS insisting its decision to cancel Late Night with Stephen Colbert was purely financial, not because Colbert had criticized the recent settlement between President Trump and CBS parent company Paramount Global. This is ABC.